Alrighty, welcome to Arcane Recovery. This is our after talk show for campaign casters. You'll notice that our mic quality is being a little finicky today. Please apologize for this first episode as we're
having
some fun.
You get
my
plan.
You apologize.
It's you guys are sorry.
It is
your
absolutely your fault.
This is on you.
It's you. So low. I apologize in advance for the sound of this, but for the most part, all we're really going to do here is really just talk back and forth about what we thought. We just recorded the first two episodes. So that was really, really cool.
Yeah.
I'm going to go around the table. So basically, this is just super laid back. If you've never heard one of these talk shows before, it's just us talking about what were our expectations, what were the things that we wanted to get done, what happened, and what were some of our favorite things that did happen, and what did we not see coming. So I think the first question I think I'm going to ask to everyone is, what was one of your favorite moments in the two sessions we had today? Nick.
Two moments. Because the thing is, that is really unique for you and I, is that we're both dungeon masters. So, being able to know some of the behind the scenes stuff and seeing you reveal things was really awesome.
Yeah.
And I want to say one of my favorite parts is that, since with that dynamic of how we're going to go, you know, back arc and arc together, you kind of throwing me in the deep end for that first just going into Talona district was really awesome. But like, I love that, because like it gives a brief insight into our little dynamic of that we're going to try with two DMs, and how our two different DM styles will kind of overlap, and
absolutely
how that will work during this campaign.
Yeah, I agree completely. Heath?
Oh wow, I really
moment.
Yes.
I really
only
did.
One.
Yeah, you only get one. That's all you get. That's your rations of the day.
If you need to think, we can also pop.
Yeah, we can pop around. Jake just looked randomly, and he's trying.
I was just turning to. I was watching the speaker.
He looks longingly into my eyes.
Oh my gosh, they're kissing.
Oh god.
No, they do not want to hear those noises.
But I think my favorite moment was immediately losing my sword. That was
hilarious. Yeah.
That felt like
it set the tone for who we
are. I was like, oh yeah, this is gonna be so cool. I'm gonna like rip the wheel off, like cut all the spokes out, and then just ding, ding,
yeah.
And I was like, this is how it's going today.
Funny enough, I was gonna try and do some Eldritch Blast towards the wheels and help out with you as well, but then once Percy fell off, I'm like, shit, gotta go get him.
Fair. Jake, what was your favorite?
I got two. First one's really quick. Getting the first nat 20 and first nat 1 on the same dice.
Absolutely.
Was pretty funny. That was pretty funny. But then like my actual like favorite moment is just going, wanting to find a carnival game, and then just going into this random alley where there's just a suspicious guy like, come play my game, and I'm like, yeah, that checks out. Let's go do that. That was hilarious. That was hilarious for sure.
Yeah, no, I think especially during that scene, I was like, in my mind for a second, I was about to just be like, no, you cannot find carnival games. And I was like, Haven, it's improv. Like, I am not
yes,
about to just be like, yeah, I need to and this. So I was like, why not? And I thought it slowly was like, I was like, okay, he has a trench coat on. And I was like, there's got to be something in the trench coat.
Yeah, dude, it's a stuffed animal.
Yeah, exactly. That was funny.
He's just not
what,
stuffed animal.
Yeah, what was in his pants?
Oh. You'll
That's
have to find out.
That's for the Patreon to find out.
That'll be in a Q&A session way later on. Adam, what was one of your favorite moments?
One of my favorites. Oh geez, actually I have three. I'll do them all really fast. One of my favorite moments was whenever Jake had the connection with Sayer.
That
made my heart so happy. I was like, Oh, that is so cute. It was literally the sister thing too. I was like, oh my gosh, none of us know that except for like Sig is the only one who really has heard
yeah,
that.
Can I just say, the second that a child showed up, I went, I'm gonna try and make this about my sister. I'm gonna try it because she's missing a brother and I'm the missing brother. I was like, this is it.
It's funny that you said that, because I actually didn't even plan it like story-wise. I was just like, yeah, this would be like a fun little...
Truly, my character would have never entered that room with Sarah alone.
Yeah.
So I just pushed him in. I was
that's
like,
fair.
That's all you...
I when you said I'm going to try and find a stuffed animal to bring to Sarah, I was like, fuck! Shit, sorry.
No,
I was like, fuck, that's what I was going to do. I was going to give her something and be like, remind me of my sister. But then you shoved me in anyway. So yeah, I was like, okay.
I thought that was a really, really good character moment. I think that also... I think what it really did for a lot of it, especially that second episode, it allowed us to really start understanding Brian a little bit more.
Yeah.
I think because everyone, like we were feeling things out, right? We had moments where we were like, okay, who are these characters and stuff? And there was this moment where, like, Riker pulls up, like, the remote saying, like, hey, you kind of got to do this stuff. And it was like, there was tension. There's tension in the room. But now that I think we're all, like, aware that these characters have been together for a while, it really, like, connected fully in that moment for me that people were like, oh, maybe it's not just against his will a little bit.
I still, like, have revealed pretty much nothing to... I mean, none of you guys know about my sister.
Absolutely.
At all.
Yeah, I mean, none of
Or any of my family. I mean, if you were eavesdropping, then I guess you'd
know. Oh, I did eavesdrop, but...
Then you know, but other than that...
Absolutely. Sophia, what was one of
your...
you have two more.
I also really... I was so proud of you for doing the improvised
you gotta
roots.
Say, you
pointing towards Sophia.
So proud of Sophia for doing the roots into the stone guy.
Yes.
Against Tolkien.
That was
sick.
Really
so cool.
Sick.
And I just adored all of us doing the intro, describing that whole cart intro scene. I thought that was just... That was so cool. That was so all of our characters.
I think it felt us.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It was super us. And I think that's really... that's the reason why we do this podcast, because we love each other and us... combining together to do that is really cool.
Yeah.
Sophia?
Now
sorry. I didn't mean to jump the gun.
You're okay.
Or the arm.
I really liked...
The bow.
I really liked that we got to see a glimmer of Elxador's, like, backstory when he almost died. And I like to see that there's another Spriggan in the world, because Haven's been so serious about, like, there's, like, you don't know any other Spriggans like you. So it's cool to know there's a possibility that there might be another one.
That was another huge moment, is whenever you said, during the thing, you said, you wake him back up and he also sees another Spriggan in front of him.
Yeah.
That was actually the one I was super proud of.
Absolutely.
You say you like have difficulty with improv, but you literally just did that. And that's like, it was so good.
Yeah. That was my other favorite moment. Cause that hit me hard. I'm like, oh, okay. We're getting nice and heavy in this first episode of the campaign.
I think that was kind of a blessing in disguise, because it's not like, literally in first episode, like, nobody knows who we are. Nobody knows, like, what the characters are about and stuff. And I think that hopefully it allows audiences to connect.
Then even learning about the world as well. Like, we say that we're flipping D&D on its head. We're introducing new races, new, like, world concepts, fun stuff. So, like, everything that is pieced together these two episodes, and even, like, the pretest episodes, there has been, like, a good, healthy amount of world explanation that once... As a viewer, I want to know more about that, because, like, there's all these cool concepts being thrown in.
Absolutely. I agree. Ari?
So I knew someone was going to take the Sayer moment before I did, so I'll say a different one. No, Jake took it, actually. You're fine. But I do want to, for a moment before I say mine, expand upon that, because I'm just so proud of Jake, because... For in case no one knows at home, which you wouldn't, Jake is the newest to playing this game out of everyone at our table.
Absolutely.
And I know he was, if you don't mind me saying, I know he was a little nervous about doing
this. Why would
you
say that? No.
And within our, these first, like, two official episodes, to have something that was just so, so gorgeous and so touching and characterful to a point that was as much as he would share. Like, what was the line? It was, big brothers always come back eventually. I'm gonna keep thinking about that for a
long time.
I really, I'm so proud of you. I really am.
That was a really good line.
Yeah. So, but my moment for myself was when Gael got to speak a little bit of Gnomish to Riker. I wanted to find a good moment for that. And since we were filling downtime, I was like, you know, this, especially with what Gael had sort of seen and discovered earlier, you know, they wouldn't address that directly, but I thought it was a good in to show that. Yeah. And through that showing their love of language, that they're very good on picking up on that, showing just a beginning of something that they enjoy and tapping into that autistic special interest that you'll see mm-hmm. come out, just starting to live in what that is in that character, in this character, in this world. And yeah, so I love that I got to drop in there, that in there, because it felt also very meaningful. Because, you know, cultural connection. We see that in the real world and how wonderful that is to feel like your culture's being honored. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I think one of my favorite, it's really hard because there are just so many good moments that did occur, but I think one of my favorite things that happened in general was... And I think it's slightly underrated. Whenever you all go into the house to find Fennec and all that sort of stuff, and Alexador reads the note, the journal, mm-hmm. and you're all immediately like, we need to get Sayre the hell out of here. Mm-hmm. I think in that moment, like they're like, yeah, we're not adventurers, we're investigators and stuff like that, and like we're trying to toe that line of like heroes and morally gray. But I think in that moment, it was really cool to see everyone have a common goal, mm-hmm. where it was a
yes.
Sayre yeah. is top priority. We don't want anything to happen to her, mm-hmm. and it was like. It was like we had Brian running out to watch her. Lycan was already like near her, making sure and did the whole backpack and seat thing with Leo, and like making sure like people were getting on different on Annika to start kind of bounding off away from this area. I think that was a moment where everyone was like, "This is the objective. This is what we have to do."
Yeah,
and I really like that.
Oh, yeah,
it was so cool. It was so cool.
Yeah, just mainly because, you know, there's that classic D&D trope where you find out information, and then as you continue reading, you're going to get ambushed. So I was like, okay, we have useful information. We have a child here. Everyone else knows this. Let's go somewhere safe and learn the rest of this.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The next question I think I'm just curious towards, what was everyone's feelings before this episode? Like, I'm just going to go around the table and see, like, what was everyone actually feeling whenever we did this sort of stuff? What were the feelings that were going into it, and what did you get out of it at the end? Nick?
Oh, I'm going to have to think on this one.
Okay, we can keep going across.
Yeah.
Heath, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, obviously there's always stress and anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when it's like, this is the one, like, mm-hmm. we're going. But I was oddly calm at the same time, because, like, I knew what I was going to do. I know in one of the, like, session zeros, I was like, I'm going to do a fun accent. I'm not doing that. And yeah. I think it actually means a lot more, because I can't use that as a crutch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To be like, oh, funny character. And I think like there's a big theme of vulnerability.
Absolutely.
At least with what I'm doing in my life currently. So I wanna keep that thread going if I can.
Yeah. Absolutely. Jake.
I don't like thoughts before we started filming the first episode.
Yeah. If you like, had any, it's okay if you don't.
No, I mean, I think I was just mostly like trying to picture, because I read like the whole
the
lore.
Yeah.
The
overview.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The, like the beginning of the episode, like what everyone was doing at the very beginning. I read all of that. And so I was like trying to picture it in my head. And I was struggling to a little bit. But then when we like started saying all of it out loud and everyone was reading their own stuff, and we got into it, it was just like a picture clear as
like
day.
Like you said, an anime intro.
Like, yeah. Like I literally envisioned like a pencil sketching everything in, and then it all got filled with color, and then things started moving after that.
That's
and it was
awesome.
Like, oh, it was
He's like, fair.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Relief. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Adam?
Honestly, just excitement through and through for like from starting any of these days, even like last week things, like do episodes. It was just, I'm just there's not many moments where you get to sit down with a bunch of your friends and play a game and do funny voices, have funny laugh moments, and like roll dice for like a silly little board game and do it for like fun, but also for other people's entertainment. And it's like, it's genuinely just so exciting and so cool to build a story from the ground up that no one else could ever even match the exact same level of story or the exact same level of character development or the exact same level of connection that our group has.
Yeah.
So like when I like literally throughout like the entire like 2 weeks that I'm like not here, I'm excited to get back to it just because it is so much fun to just do something with a group of people you feel super comfortable with that will eventually get thrown out into the world and hopefully that other people will also enjoy the connections that we all have together. And if they don't, yeah, that's fine. I'm still glad that I'm here playing this game with all of my closest friends. And I'm still glad that I'm just, literally it's a huge stress reliever for me just to do this with people. And it's just, you know, it's one of the coolest things ever.
Ditto, brother.
No. Yeah.
I love you.
I love you.
I was definitely nervous when I woke up this morning. But then I got here, and I think the fact that we did a test episode or two first helped me just settle in, and remembering that we've all played together before, we've all, like, this is meant to be fun, and I kind of was able just to sink in.
Yeah.
And I honestly was not nervous at all while actually playing. So
that's great. Yeah. That'd be
yeah. As an anxious person, I was like, "Whoa, this is new."
It's funny how I play the most anxious character, yet I am not anxious at all.
Yeah.
That's the reason I got it too.
Like, absolutely.
I wonder.
Yeah, that's actually really, really cool insight. I never like realized that. I guess that you don't have as much anxiety, and that's.
I kind of did a swap.
No, yeah, I definitely do have. I have anxiety. Everyone has anxiety.
Yeah.
But like.
It's
not,
emotion.
Not as
about
crazy,
it,
like
yeah.
Yeah, but like I'm able. I've went through so many things where I've had to, I've figured out how I perceive things, how to think through certain like scenarios, and like. It's interesting to play a character like Leo who has a huge amount of anxiety, and it makes me think back to when I was in middle school, because that's when the most amount of my anxiety really, really, really came out.
Yeah.
So like every experience of him like going into the casino, I'm like, okay, what would the old me who didn't talk to anyone had
or
like
know how to manage this at all?
Two friends.
Yeah.
And barely knew how to any improv skills at all. Would experience a huge amount of people, it's terrifying.
Yeah,
because it's just in our brains we have this societal thought of like, if we say the wrong things, if we do the wrong things, then the world's gonna end. When that's not actually true. But to someone like Leo, who literally is 6 years old,
yes,
who is still figuring out everything in the world, that is the scariest thing ever, because he literally thinks that people will attack him and people will go against him, but he doesn't know that that won't actually happen.
That was goddamn well said.
That was a lot of thought on why I do Leo's
hair. I absolutely love that. Ari?
I didn't know if I was going to be nervous again. I felt like at the top of the day when I woke up, very similar to Sophia, I felt as anxious as I was before our test episodes, but that dissipated a lot faster. I'll admit I was also really anxious about if I had the personal stamina to do this today, because our recording days are long. And
yes.
Fun fact, a few of us are in a show at our university, and I was up, I was in rehearsal singing until 10 p.m. last night.
Ooh.
And I was like, I'm so tired, can I do this?
Yeah.
But that's the fun thing about D&D and about TTRPGs is very much last semester with Fodenland, that was like my, at the end of the week, I could relax and escape and whatever. And I felt like I was able to live in that a little bit more, even though we were being recorded and there were these things.
Even if I'm exhausted, it gives back to me.
That is exactly it. And y'all are such giving players. I felt rejuvenated, and we did the high energy stuff and we did the quieter things, and all of it I don't know. I felt like I could breathe, but I also could get hype about things. Sorry.
No, you're good. I think what is nice about our group is you know that you can take a back seat and let other people just run in for a little bit. Oh, yeah. You don't have to always be.
Yeah, it's not always on.
Right,
it's,
exactly. You can just, I can just enjoy.
Yeah, I'm out. Run. What a great story.
I know. Just like, you know what I mean? I mean, like, I removed myself from the rest of the group for, like, the entire end portion of the first episode. Yeah. And I did that because it was in character, but it also did give me a moment to, like, hang out, you cool. know?
Yeah, like, I'm good. I don't have the attention.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Nick didn't get to.
Yeah, Nick, would you like to go before I go?
No, yeah.
Oh, sorry. I.
No, you're
I didn't
fine.
Mean to skip
no,
over
it's fine.
You at all.
No, you're fine. No,
you can go.
You can go. No, go. Say your words.
You want to go first?
No, you go, Aiden.
Okay. You're perfectly fine.
Okay. I'm sorry.
You're
I apologize.
No, you're perfectly
so
fine. I was talking about cheese. I can't talk. I was talking about this with Nick today.
Are you going to say what I was going to say? No.
I don't know.
We finished each other's sentences.
Yeah. This morning and yesterday and this whole week for me personally has been really, really stressful in terms of, for some reason, because this matters so much to me, my brain was like, you're not going to do it. You can't, like I knew I could do it, if that makes sense. Like, I wasn't, like, telling myself I was bad or anything. I'm perfectly confident in my ability.
Subconscious self-sabotage.
Subconscious self-sabotage.
Oh,
I was, like, literally, so typically, just so everyone knows my writing process for this sort of thing, like, I've never had to write for two sessions.
Mm-hmm.
And for those of you at home, I don't really write a lot, like I write a lot, but I don't write a lot for a lot of my sessions that I run in my other games. I write like 2 or 4 pages maximum, and then the rest is improv, because that's how I like to operate and have more fun, especially in like things like my other game with Strixhaven and all this.
It gives
sort
you
of,
more freedom.
Yeah, it gives me more freedom. I'm not confined to one thing. I have a big plot, and then I like fill in the blanks. But for this, like, I do have a big plot and I fill in the blanks, but I have to create, in my mind, I have to create something that I've always wanted to have the amount of effort in. And so with the past 2 weeks, typically what I do is I will write for the full 2 weeks. I'll do 2 pages every day.
No.
And that's what I do. I do 2 pages every single night, so that way I can relax for the rest of the night and just get it done. It takes me like an hour, maybe, if I'm taking forever, maybe not. But for this week specifically, it took me forever. I literally was writing this morning. I woke up at 8 and I wrote the gambling games and the casino. I wrote Elder Blast and how Elder Blast works. And then I wrote stuff you guys haven't gotten to yet.
Mm-hmm.
That because I was so goddamn scared. From my perspective, I was like, holy shit. Like, I had...
What's happening?
Yeah, I was like...
You've been building for this for years.
Yeah, I was like, it was this thing. I was like, it's finally happening, and I don't feel ready. As a DM, I don't feel ready because I can't prepare in advance. I needed to know everyone's characters and how everyone operates for me to write correctly.
But even as someone who's DM'd very lightly, like, I feel that even normally when I'm playing a game.
Yeah,
like, that feeling of, like, I don't even have everything ready. Like, how do I...
Can we just talk about, like, for you guys, Nick and Haven?
Yeah.
This is years in the making.
Yeah.
For us, it is
literally
months.
Years.
Less than 3 months for us and, like, the rest of the cast.
Yeah, well.
Yeah.
Weird to think about that.
It's fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Like, it's y'all's baby. And I mean, I'm personally honored that you're trusting us to co-parent, in the words of Sophia, has phrased things before.
Of course we would. Now, I can also, like, go align with that, like, feeling that nervous, because I was not aware that we were going to visit Tolona today.
I'm so sorry about that.
No, I loved it. It was a great moment because, I mean, for me, I have like I'm still writing my arc for everything, and I'm making sure that I have like a lot of detailed descriptions. But like when that was just kind of thrown in, I was like, oh, okay, I need to, like, I know where the information is, and I just wanted to make sure that I could tell it right so that it did it justice whenever it came in, and it leaves that ominous feeling. Be like, oh, okay, here's different districts, and then your introduction of us going to Zillionak, I thought we were just going to be in Eskreek this whole arc. So
yeah.
Us visiting other ones, I'm like, okay, this is pretty cool.
Yeah. So I don't think everyone else knows this because it kind of has stayed between Nick and I.
Yeah.
Mainly the kind of impression Nick and I were under for a while, and I think we were just kind of boxing ourselves in to make sure things didn't get too out of proportion,
mm-hmm.
was that we were going to each have our own districts that we made and we stayed in. And mm-hmm. and for some reason to me, I was thinking about it. I cannot keep this in the exact same district or it's going to feel so small. And
yeah.
Nick and I have talked about wanting Conamanther to feel big.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that you guys are having to go from Zillionak to the Hook, Line, and Drinker all the way over to places like this Kilmooli Casino so that you can see that the city itself interworks all across the board.
The world is bigger than us.
Yeah.
And it felt like that to me as a player. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah.
I think it's so cool we get to see your style early. And
absolutely.
That was awesome.
It makes me excited for your arc and also hopefully the listeners excited for it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And it really, the way that we did the city is that I had this idea one day, because I was like, whenever you have a D&D, you know, city that you're going to be in, you're like, okay, well, it's not a town, so there's a whole lot of stuff going on, but why is everything in the story happening in this specific part of the city? So the idea that I came up with is that you divide it into districts. And what it is that we just wanted Conamanther to be so big, very vast. That idea of districts is that whenever, here's a little pro DM tip in city building, if you want to like focus on stuff, have a district. And what this is that, say like you have a king and queen, right? They're at the very top of the food chain. And then below that, you have the people who are kind of like representing each district coming together so that they can give information to the king and queen and act as advisors of sorts. And then when you finally break down to like each individual district, you have that governor, you know, governor, mayor, whatever you would like to call it.
Scaffold it lower.
And then you get to contain yourself in a district. And then you take that idea and throw in as many districts as you want to keep that campaign going
mm-hmm.
Build that city of however big.
Yeah, literally a ginormous planet of cities. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Like districts.
Yeah, and it was just a really fun and easy way for us not to trip on each other's toes.
Absolutely. So that's why I immediately handed it off to Nick, was because as soon as I knew you were going over there, I was like, Nick at the beginning said the entire thing about the cardinal courts and how there's four of those. And then he talked about these five different people. And I was like, I do not know this well enough. I was like, holy shit, I am not going to be able to DM this for you, which is why I threw you that curveball, because I was like, I would rather throw it to you who has something written for that.
Mm-hmm.
And it be better.
But it allows you to create a bigger world because you've got two brains on it.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
That's the best part about this.
It's such a testament to collaboration, because me and Haven and Nick, but me and Nick especially in the past week or so, have been in a lot of communication building mm-hmm. the world of the House of the Solstice and Gael's world, because their religion and where they've grown up is so important to the entire way they exist in the world. And so building that location and the way that it operates was so important. So it was also very special for me to start to see a little bit of that with Nick. We know some things that won't be revealed for a while, but I'm very excited about.
Not yet.
Not for a minute. Little teaser. So you got to stick around for like a bunch of episodes, which you should do anyway, because it's super cool.
Or else.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I guess my next question.
Oh, okay. Just skip over.
Oh, yeah.
Me.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Yeah.
Sorry,
so
I forgot.
No, you're all good. And I just wanted to finish that idea there, because Haven and I know a lot about this. Like, not even the thing is, we know a lot about Conamanther. outside of Conamanther, we also know a little, like a good, like we did a bunch of world building and lore and whatnot.
Oh, yeah.
But like Conamanther, we have so much built for this and we're just prepared for all this. And like, it's really interesting lore when you get down to it. But I think like these two episodes were just enough to like really give that breath of fresh air to be like, okay, there's a lot I can explore in here. And
it's funny, if like, we touch like 15% of it and you'd be like, yep, there's so much more.
Yeah, literally.
Like with the Department of Magic casting, like at first there was like some ideas that since some of you don't have your licenses that we have like maybe like an episode where you guys go get your license at a DMV and stand in line and be like, I want to have this. Where's my test that I could take?
Yeah. I decided against that. But
thank you.
Yeah, oh,
yeah, appreciate it.
Right?
Peace and love.
Yeah. So what was
hate
what?
The
yeah,
real. That was why we made it.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was like, that'd be such a funny concept to be like, you need a license to cast magic in the city,
and then
especially with like the lore that we're going with, it makes sense.
Absolutely.
Yeah, like it's a really fun way to mitigate people who just have access to wish if they study or kill goblins long enough. Where you might want to regulate that power level system.
Absolutely.
But what I found really interesting leading up to this podcast or like these first couple of test sessions.
Yes.
And episodes itself is being able to have a great time with you guys. But also the thing that we wanted to really show everyone here is that we are amongst fans. There are so many great creators out there that have a Dungeons & Dragons podcast, tabletop rolling, playing, Call of Cthulhu, you name it. And so many great artists out there that are just really trying to make a legacy in this, what would you say, like field?
In the sea. Of things.
Yeah.
In this online space.
In this space.
In this world. In the world.
Yeah, in this role-playing space. Because this is our way of escaping. And we are not famous. We are not rich. We are college students. Well, some of us.
College students and recent grads.
We are college adjacent.
Yes. Yeah.
We are new adults.
Broke.
New adults.
Yeah, but we are new
Money,
adults.
Please.
Exactly. We're new adults in this world and we want to try and make something for ourselves, but also bring people with us because we want to involve the fans of those amazing podcasts and creators and bring us all with us. Like what we want to offer that we can get into depending on like what we say with our the outro. There we go. Sorry.
Yeah.
The outro or just any other information we want to have is that we want to involve fans with us where you guys get to give us feedback or give us dungeons that get to create. You also get to like voice over NPCs
absolutely
that you want to like submit. Like we want to involve you guys and it's really fun being able to take that big swing quote by Freddie Wong Dungeon to Daddies and Rocket Jump
yeah, so good. Yes,
awesome.
I think that was one of the main things that really inspired us was Rocket Jump's idea of trying to be like, hey, here's if like especially in things like in the movie industry, a lot of it tends to be gatekept. Mm-hmm. A lot of it does. Mm-hmm. That's just how it is. So I think Rocket Jump was the first group that tried to break away from them.
Mm-hmm. And we don't have fancy equipment. We're trying to figure this out along
this
with
episode.
You guys.
Listen back to episode two and tell us how it sounds.
Episode two is brought to you by Heath's busted ass soundboard.
I was not busted ass for the first episode.
Just decided to die. It was just
okay because we got an amazing team of people, ones that you hear from here and ones that you do not. That we're working together to make it happen and to overcome things that are not perfect because we can't expect to be perfect starting off the gate. Like you said, we are new adults in the world. We don't have fame or money, but we have a lot of heart and we have a lot of community. And I think that's worth, especially right here, right now, just as much.
Yeah. And we just want to build people, take people. Yeah.
We want to build people.
Yeah, we want to build people. No, we want to, we want to take people and build everyone else up together.
Yeah. Because like the thing we say at the beginning, this is your home away from home.
I know.
Exactly.
It's and ours then, too. Absolutely. You know, it's ours first and now yours too.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of my home.
This is Heath's
home.
I'm actually. Now, I know you might have a question to him, but I was wondering if I could ask a question.
I suppose.
Yeah, you're fine. Yeah. So now that, you know, we've, for a couple of months, we've been telling you about, you know, the Runecaster and what the hat that has been. So now this is kind of directed towards Sophie as well. How does everyone feel about the introduction of the Runecaster now that you did a spectacular job of showing how this class works?
Thank you.
So Runecaster is the concept of making your own spells and being able to use your imagination as best you can to do possibly whatever you want.
Yeah.
So going back to you, how did you feel about that?
I was definitely intimidated because it's the guest, you're in Haven's baby, and so I was very nervous to take it on. Like I think we all suggested like 3 character concepts, and I was like, I mean, this could be a sorcerer, could be a runecaster, could be this. I mean, if you really need that, I'll do the runecaster, but oh my gosh, I don't want to do that. And then it worked out that it made sense for me to be the runecaster, so I don't know. It's been really fun. I've had more fun with it than I thought I would. I'm a very like rules. I like to know everything ahead of time person. So the idea of like, oh, I can just improvise it scares me. But it's really fun. Like I'm really enjoying it. I don't know if I should explain the class or if it would.
I mean, it's up to you.
Yeah, you can.
We want to hear your experience with it.
Yeah.
Well, and it's weird because they're not spells. The basic idea is that I am an incantemic runecaster, which means that the runecaster carves into themselves to cast their magic.
And you're a tree, so it's really good.
Yes, it's like there's literal like bark.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it's less gruesome than than some or other things of how
could
it could
be. And so there's just different ways of tracking.
Mm-hmm.
The spell, not spells, the runes.
Yeah.
I have to get that on my head. Yeah. I'm really enjoying it though. I love the spontaneous nature of it. Like being able to make situational spells. That's just like that. It's a need I didn't realize I had within D&D. So that's really cool.
Yeah.
That's great.
And the thing is that it's an entirely new system. Of course, I mean, you could actually probably throw it in like any other system if you really so chose because it's not, you know, it's not spell casting. And that's the thing that, I mean, Haven and I are not like, you know, professional game
developers.
So
I think what's awesome is that you guys have been so open about my feedback and of like what's working, what's not. So we're continuing to workshop.
Yeah, we are
as we go.
It is consistent workshop. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's not meant to be done.
But it was funny. Yes. I went back to playing a cleric for a different campaign and I was like, oh, I'm so limited by these spells.
All right, this is gonna sell. Yeah. All right.
I can only do specific things. Yeah.
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 That's great. I'm glad to hear that.
What did everyone else like viewing it as?
It's cool to see just like, it's literally putting puzzle pieces together. It's like, you know, those like old, like those letter magnets that you can put on fridges?
Yep.
Like it's like those, but like you're like, okay, I need to have like a way I wanna, cast it specific level. I want to have a specific like element or
And there's limitations to it. It's not just you can't be like I want to cast fireball and make it pink. Like
Barbie pink fireball.
Yeah, yeah. There's limitations. It's there's guidelines on what kinds of things I can do.
Yeah, and you're using specific words. Like I think the two of the ones you used that were improvised were the going through the like stone crack
upheaval.
One. The upheaval one and the was it the healing one that was also improvised?
Yeah, I have a name for that one.
I think that one you like mixed like vitality and then you also did, I believe, earth.
Earth for the other one.
Earth, yeah. And for the other one. And like just using those like words and putting them together and being like, okay, that can work.
Yeah. That actually brings up another good point. What do you guys think about the new like damage types and elements that we're gonna?
Oh, I just
that we submitted that.
Those are just amazing. Like, yeah. I always feel like it's so limiting when it comes to having like four or five damage types. Like, obviously, it makes sense when you build a game that like, hey, this guy's gonna hit really hard, so it's gonna bludgeon you. That makes sense.
Yeah. Wow.
This guy's gonna stab you, so it's gonna be piercing. But it's like, what's a good example?
The earth damage or the
like
shadow.
Shadow vitality.
Shadow, yeah. Shadow vitality. Yeah.
What's it? What's another new one? Like, let me look.
Ether.
Ether. Yes, that's space.
Like, just getting, because like sometimes you look at a spell and you're like,
why does
should that be necrotic damage? Does that make sense to be necrotic?
Yeah.
Like, or does this make sense that it should be like fire?
But it's,
like
it's too broad.
Or like life
it's
force. Too broad.
Yeah. Like okay, difference that makes
like
radiant being like life all the time. Just it's like okay, that's a choice.
Absolutely, like evo. Like I don't know if everyone knows this. Cure Wounds is an evocation spell.
That's
it's wild.
Are you aware of that? It's not a divine. Yeah. It's not divination because divination isn't like. Isn't healing people, it's seeing things.
Yeah.
So in D&D, originally, they don't have anything that's like separately only healing spells.
Yeah, like
all healing stuff. Spells are evocation, which makes no
it's
sense
weird.
To me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Huh. Yeah.
No, but I just love it.
Runecaster, you can make that make sense. Boom.
No, and I mean, when I found out that Sophia was going to be our Runecaster, I was like, that makes so much sense because... If anyone can hold that much in their brain, it is Sophia. I think it is the combination of if you're being able to improv and how incredibly smart you are that makes you able to use a system like this and do it so well. Like you were already creating things that I don't think I would have thought of that because it's maybe just not the way my brain operates. It's so thrilling to me, and I knew you could do it, and I'm glad you're seeing that you can do it too.
Yeah,
so.
Absolutely.
So we're getting close to the end. So the way I want to end this is I'm going to ask everyone to go around, and I'm going to ask you to try your best to fit into one word. What is the thing you are looking forward to next?
Oh, jeez.
Ooh.
Got it.
Okay, Adam, go first if you have it.
Us.
Adam, you're gonna make me cry.
Damn you. That's really good.
No matter what, it boils down to us as a team working together to do this. And like us also in the fact of the people who are listening to this. All of us together are in this as a team.
I agree.
A family, you can say.
A family.
Secrets. That's my word, secrets. I want to know everybody's things. Fiend for backstory.
Yeah.
I think because I've enjoyed it so much so far. I think because I've enjoyed it so much so far. Vulnerability and the many forms that takes. I know that's more. That was a word.
Yeah, no,
it was a word and then an explanation. Okay, but vulnerability. Yes,
exactly.
I think the one word I have is. Let's see, what the hell is the one word I have?
Oh, you couldn't answer your own question,
no,
huh?
No, I didn't think about it.
I can go.
Yeah.
My one word is eustress. Like E-U. Like
me stressing?
So with stress, there's distress and eustress. And eustress is stress that propels you forward to be better.
Yeah.
Which I learned in my class that I'm taking with Jay. You're not going to be able to think of a better word.
Did we mention we are college students?
Jay, do you have one?
Freedom. Both for the character and for me
you
as
know,
a player.
That was going to be my word too. That was the first word I thought of. And then I was like, oh.
You let Jake have it.
I don't know.
Thanks for the freedom of choice.
Number two.
Do you have one?
Yeah. Lore. There's so much lore that's been built up. Like,
yes.
Can't wait to give it to you guys.
I think I'm going to be different. I'm going to say villains.
You're damn right. We have some badass villains coming up.
Oh. And with that, we are going to end Arcane Recovery for today. If you haven't already, make sure you give us a review if you can, because that's the best way to support us. We would really appreciate it. And if not, perfectly fine. And we hope you have a great rest of your day.
And remember?
Excelsior.
Remember?
I could do this. Finish. Until next time, be careful adventuring. If you get tired, come back home.
If the big villain is a lumberjack, I'm gonna